Hey everybody, welcome to today's episode of Power Hour. And give me just a second to get everything set up the way it needs to be. I got some bells and whistles going off at me. So, okay. All right. Hi, y'all. I got to take a deep breath. Today has been an interesting day. Happy Monday. And welcome to our 1 hour, our 60-minute session of setting ourselves up for greatness for your entire week. Where is our planners at? Have you all done your planners for the week? I'm a little behind the eight ball myself. So get y'all planners out, okay? Call a neighbor, call a friend, tell them LHG and Power Hour is on the air. Good evening, everybody. Let me make sure that we have lift off to all of our areas and that we are shared to everywhere that we need to be shared to. So bear with me just a moment. And while I do that, welcome everyone. Thank you all for being here. I thank you all for your support. This is what I love to do. It's Monday and we're setting our week up in the right way because sometimes we have so much to do. So much on our plate that it can become really, really overwhelming. And we don't want to go into the week in an overwhelmed state. We want to invite God into this week, into this process, because he is our creator and our sustainer. So we want to make sure we pray this afternoon. And we're going to talk about customer service. If you know, you know, this is my lane. This is what I do. So I am sharing. How about you share as well? We are on Facebook. Hey, Sunette, my girl's coming through here. We are on Facebook, Trailblazers with the Z Radio, Critical Conversations, Facebook, and we're also on YouTube. And you can find us under Trailblazers with the Z Radio and Critical Conversations with LHG. All right. So make sure you are subscribing, following, sharing, lots of great content. Today is about customer service. I've got two different experiences to talk about. And while you're in the comments as well, think about your best experience in terms of getting the most fabulous customer service hands down, and then think about your worst. Okay, we're going to be doing a series about service. This is what I do. This is my love, my passion. And we're going to have some discussion about what goes well in service, what goes wrong in service, and what's the difference. And are we being conscious consumers? Because sometimes the service issue is you, dear customer. You will never hear me say the customer is always right. I'll say it again. You will never hear LHG say these words, the customer is always right, because I don't believe that. What I do believe is the customer is always right to the customer. See, I did that. They're right to themselves. And the customer is necessary. I will always say that. If you're in a business that depends on people that are paying you for your goods or service, you need customers to survive, all right? So we're going to pray. Let me let Simone know that I am on right now. Somebody tag my girl. And let me let her know I'm on right now. My people look for Power Hour. And I appreciate the support. That tells me that you all are enjoying this platform. And I enjoy delivering this content to you. Power Hour, for those who are new to this particular podcast, is specifically about business, whether it's about our personal affairs, our entrepreneurial efforts. We make sure we have our planners out. And at this point, we are at the end of January. You should have already, to be honest with you, I haven't, but we're going to do better. You really should have already filled out your February calendar. We should really be working into February by now, if not March. So quarter one of January of this year is well underway. January is almost done. This week would be the end of January. So if you have not filled out your February calendar, then we're behind the eight ball, because you probably have some doctor appointments, some projects, some dental appointments coming up in February, and we should really be filling out our February calendar. Sanette, you ain't the only one, girl. Me and you both. But today, between today and tomorrow, that's why we do Power Hour, Sanette. Between today and tomorrow, everybody, if you have not filled out your February calendar, get to it, because there are dates that people are dropping for events that you want to get ahead of that. And I've got a lot going on next month. I've been dropping flyers. So you should be filling out your February calendar. We're going to get back on the bandwagon, Sanette and Simone. That's why we do this. That's why. Because January is just about done. So we ought to be setting up our following month. Next month is the month of love. I have two pop-ups. Hey, cousin! My cousin is in the house. I love my cousin. We should have been sisters. I have a pop-up on this Saturday. So this Saturday, ladies and gentlemen, those who are Polished on Purpose supporters, and even if you've never been a supporter of mine, come on out. 8024 Middle Belt in Westland, Michigan. We'll be there from, I want to say, noon to 7, Valentine's Day, pre-Valentine's Day pop-up this Saturday. Then the following Saturday, I'll have another pop-up. I'll put that in the comments. And on the 9th of February, there is a Valentine's dinner that my beautiful friends and sisters and brothers are doing. Pastor Inga and Apostle Lawrence Wallace, Pastor Denise Cooper, they're coming together with Oasis Ministries to bring you a Valentine's Day dinner that's all about love. And tonight at 7 o'clock, put in the comments, tonight at 7 o'clock, a very special Monday night episode of Critical Conversations is coming on to talk about that February 9th Valentine's Day dinner. And I'm calling our show tonight, Let's Talk About Love, Love Literacy. What does that mean? It means we're going to be more skilled about love. Well, how can love be a skill? Why wouldn't it be? God has to teach us how to love each other and how to love ourselves. So I'm going to call it a skill. Thank you, cousin. Tonight at 7, Pastor Inga Wallace and Pastor Denise Cooper of Earthquakers Ministries are coming on to talk about the Valentine's Day, all about love dinner. We're going to talk about love and the biblical aspect of love. Why should we be skilled in the area of love? That's right, Sanette, team support. So if you haven't filled out your February calendar by now, do not fret. Do not fret, but don't delay, because there are dates coming up in the next month that I need you to put in your calendars, all right? So we're going to get back on the bandwagon. No, you didn't miss me, Simone. Sometimes the time for Power Hour will change depending on what I have going on. And I'm going to tell you what I got going on. Today was interesting. So let's pray. Go ahead and tag a few people. Share this video on your timeline. And we're going to get into, you got your water? We are not going to be dehydrated. Sometimes business makes you thirsty. It gets so serious. Your mind is moving. Your brain is just working. And yeah, you're in the zone. That means when you're taking care of business, you got to have that much more hydration. I just hung up from my doctor's office talking about water. Let's pray and I'm talk about that. Thank you. Thank you, Simone. Thank you so much. Father, in the name of Jesus, whew, we take a deep breath in your presence, Lord God. Many of us have so many things going on that sometimes it seems like time gets away from us. It seems like we don't have enough time in the day, but we do. You gave us 24 hours in a day. 8 of those belong to rest. So that gives us enough time to do our business, take care of ourselves, our families, our minds, and be focused. So we come together every Monday, Lord God, asking you to help us to help manage our time. We want to be better time managers. We want to make sure we are planning and organizing and being, you know, real smart about how we allocate our time in this season. So Lord God, I ask you to lift every bow down head. Someone out there has been calling on you, Lord God, for some very specific things, whether it's financial, whether it's healing, whether it's deliverance, whether it's just to have their mind at ease. Lord God, we ask you to touch, heal, deliver, and set free. And when it comes to our organizational skills, help us to figure out how to allocate the right amount of time to all that we have to do, so we're not overwhelmed, so we're not walking in fear, so we're not procrastinating, so we're not out here shaking in our boots, so that we can handle our affairs in decent and in order. And I'll be extra careful, Lord God, to give your name praise, honor, and glory, because it's due you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's get started. Simone says, you know what? The dentist is tomorrow. Tomorrow morning at 9 a.m. I need all prayer warriors on deck. I have a procedure. Yes, God. Amen and amen. I have a procedure going on tomorrow on my teeth. I have asked God to preserve every tooth. Have you ever prayed for your teeth before? I challenge you, ladies and gentlemen, to start praying over your teeth. I want to take these same original teeth into my 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, and beyond. I want all original teeth in this season. So that means we have to take care of our teeth. We got to brush them. I don't floss. I'm going to be honest. But I may have to start flossing. I am going, Simone, we are going to start praying for our teeth. They are a part of us. Have you ever had a toothache? A toothache is the most horrendous pain. I would rather give birth to Gabrielle 5 more times than have a toothache. I hate toothache. Teeth to infinity and beyond. I love my cousin. So I have been praying because my teeth been backsliding. I don't know about y'all teeth, but my teeth have been acting like they had no home training. I have had more procedures in my mouth in the last 3 years than my entire life. When I got into my 40s, they just start acting crazy from root canals. I've had teeth pulled. So now there's an infection in my front tooth and I don't know if y'all know, infections in your mouth. Oh yeah, toothache ain't no joke, Simone. An infection in your mouth can cause you problems to your heart. Did you all know that? Our body is so intricately designed and connected. Yes, and that at least look original. Absolutely. But if you have infections or things going on in your mouth, that can connect to other ailments in other parts of your body. Even heart issues. Man, I'm telling you, your mouth is an important organ. And we have to take care of our mouth, whether it's gum disease, gingivitis, infections, we have to take care of that. Yes, and that Orajel, Ambisol, I know. So today's topic is customer service. And I'm going to shout out my doctor's office, Henry Ford Health Systems. I want to shout them out because what's happening now is not only do I have a primary care physician, but a lot of doctors' offices are assigning you with kind of a social worker or healthcare advocate type of thing to help with your care. Have you all been getting those kind of calls? Yes, this is my favorite topic too, Simone. We've had many discussions about customer service. So now, on top of me having a primary care doctor, there is someone in my doctor's office that calls me a few times a month, hear me now, to make sure I've scheduled my appointments. She called me when she noticed that my insurance had ended. She calls me to check on me in terms of my prescriptions. She calls me to see how I'm doing mentally. Come on. She's like a healthcare advocate, social worker, and she works in tandem with the doctor's office to make sure that the things that happen to us in between appointments are taken care of. Because guess what? Not everybody is in tune to getting refills, filling out paperwork. So this particular position, I'm going to call it healthcare advocacy. It just sounds real good in my spirit. And I would want to do something like that. I can see myself being, can y'all see me being a healthcare advocate? Put it in the comments. Encourage me today. Encourage your girl today. I can see myself being a healthcare advocate because you are partnering with the patient to make sure all of their needs are met. You need your niece. You pray for your niece. She wasn't feeling good this morning. She was not feeling good. So y'all keep my baby girl in prayer. So the healthcare advocate, first of all, what does it mean to you to have an advocate? Put in the comments what you think the word advocate means. Let's break this thing down line by line and precept upon precept. I feel churchy in here on today. An advocate, man, when I first started my job in the company I last worked for 20 years, our job title was called customer advocate. They've changed it since, but the advocate means you are stepping into on the scene to stand up for that person. An advocate is someone who is your voice when you feel voiceless. When someone advocates for you, who advocates for us? Jesus advocates for us to the Father. That is someone who has some influence to say, hey, I'm coming to you on behalf of this person, and here is what her needs are. That's right, Sonette, to help keep your life in order. So the healthcare advocate called me, and she called me last week, and I told her about the insurance problem, about the insurance being turned off. Okay, your aunt is your advocate. Good example, Simone. Your aunt has your back, and she may go to appointments for you. She may speak on your behalf. She has things in order for you. She's your person. Okay, so we've established that advocacy is that person who stands up and says, here I am on behalf of Simone. Here is what she needs to keep her life in order. So a healthcare advocate is working dual purpose. They work for the doctor, but they also work for you. They're the go-between, liaison, if you wanted a fancier word, all right? That sounded a little French. Liaison. They're the person who goes between and does some of the legwork that we may not think to do or may not even know how to do. So she's calling to make sure I have scheduled to see my, that's right, exactly, Simone, like Jesus, yes. She called me to make sure that my insurance was back on, because she knew that when the pandemic ended, a lot of people who get Medicaid got pushed into this recertification thing and lost our insurance, just lost it. The pandemic afforded us extras that we weren't normally getting because people were so desperate, losing jobs, losing homes, losing whatever. So now that the pandemic is over, COVID isn't over, but the pandemonium of the pandemic is over, many of us low-income people lost our medical insurance. And now we have to go back and recertify, resubmit paperwork to prove that we qualify. Yeah, red tape. So I was unable to even go to my doctors, unable to get my prescriptions for 2 weeks fighting with the Medicaid people. So she was like, well, you may want to reapply. She gave me a number to call. This advocate person called me to encourage me, don't give up. Let me see what I can do. She was going to call the doctor and see if he had samples of the medications. She was working for him, but for me as well. And what it does, what I think healthcare advocacy does is it gives you that warm and fuzzy person that's checking in on you. The doctor doesn't have time to do all this. But the advocate can call you and say, hey, Sonette, you're overdue for a checkup. Let's get you scheduled. Hey, Simone, it's time for this. Let's get you scheduled. The advocate is advocating for our better health. They're keeping in our forefront of our mind, it's time for a mammogram. Latanya, you're coming. You're 48. Your mammogram's overdue. You're almost 50. It's time for a colonoscopy or whatever they call it. Because at certain ages and stages of life, we have to have certain type of medical attention, preventative maintenance. So the healthcare advocate now, I feel God in here, is reminding us of how to do preventative maintenance. What is the real reason why that's a good idea? Because if you take better care of yourself, you may not get as sick as you've been getting. Yes, colonoscopy. I'm not looking forward to that. But at a certain age, you have to get these certain tests done to rule out any kind of cancers, polyps, or whatever else. So the healthcare advocate, Sonette says, I have social workers, doctor, community, family, and friends. We need all of those, Sonette, to be advocates for our health. So don't think that your good health is just solely on you. You're partnering with the doctors. You're partnering with social workers. Get your community involved. Get your family and friends involved. I call my auntie. My auntie is getting up in age, and she doesn't do the best going to the doctor. So I might randomly text her, take your medicine, auntie. You going to the doctor, auntie? Check on your elders. We should be our elders' health advocates. If you have aunts and uncles, grandparents, parents who are up in age who may not remember or take the time to go to their routine appointments, you should be that advocate. Yes, Simone, I know. I was talking to Gabby. She's going to be approaching the age in a couple of years for a pap smear. And it's not comfortable, but it's necessary, Simone, because our southern region needs care too. We can't just be walking around and don't get her checked out and something happened to her and you're going to wonder what's going on down there. It's a fire. Take care of your southern parts. So the healthcare advocate, and I think she might even be a nurse because she sounds real educated and professional. Most of them probably are nurse practitioners and have some kind of education in nursing because she had all the answers. She even gave me resources, y'all, about financial budgeting. And because I was saying how I wanted to, you know, get better financially, she found support groups for finances. She found support groups for some of everything. For mental health support groups, I have anxiety. And not having my medicine for 2 weeks left me in a very, I don't know, I've been feeling real crazy. So she gave me a suggestion to let the medicine sink in for the next 3 days. I should start feeling better because she's very smart. So I'm thinking these healthcare advocates have got to be skilled in medicine enough to give you certain baseline advice about medications, blood pressure, things like that. So I said all of that to say, I think that plays into customer service because now, even if it was hard trying to get a therapy appointment, because everybody and their mama need therapy now. COVID had us knocking down the doors of all therapists and psychiatrists. So now when you want to go to a therapist, you may not see anybody until March or April. So when I called the advocate, she said, oh, no. We can't wait that long. Let me give you another number to call and tell them it's urgent. Oh, I'll put a note in your file saying Mrs. Gooden needs to be seen urgently. She's my advocate. She stands up for me when the line is too long and I can't stand up that long. She stands in line for me to handle things. Hey, Auntie Diane, love you. Thank you for coming through. So these healthcare advocates or social workers, they are the customer service part of the medical profession or doctor appointments. That way, if you have questions and you can't get to the doctor, then the healthcare advocate may be able to answer your questions, filter paperwork. I mean, I really think it was a great idea for the healthcare system to have these go-between people that kind of walk you through things. Because guess what? At the end of the day, and I hate to make it sound so brash, these healthcare systems make money off of us. We are their customers. They want to call us patients, and I get it. That's cute. But we really are customers. And even though I may not be paying them directly, Medicaid, Medicare, Blue Cross, the insurances are paying them. So it would behoove them, come on, Holy Ghost, it would behoove them to make sure they're rolling out the red carpet for their patients. So if you have trouble in your medical network, find out if they have healthcare advocates or social workers that you can talk to that can answer some questions that you may not be able to filter through the doctor. This is how far my healthcare advocate went. She asked me, what were my financial setbacks? I mentioned housing. I mentioned, what else? The whole insurance thing. She went in her database and found me phone numbers to call to apply for assistance, whether it was United Way, Salvation Army, Department of Human Services. This healthcare advocate went into her database and typed in needs housing, needs medical, needs money, needs whatever, and found toll-free numbers of resources to give me. Now, you may think, well, what does that have to do with healthcare? Because if you don't have adequate housing, adequate insurance, and finances, you're going to be sick. You're going to be stressed. You're going to need therapy. So maybe the thought process is, if the healthcare advocate can address some of the stressors of life, then maybe LHG won't need so much anxiety medicine. Come on here. Come on. It makes sense. It makes sense. It's called toll-free, Simone, because it won't be considered a long-distance number. Right now, if you have, you're in Virginia, and if I was to call you on your regular phone, it would normally cost. A toll-free number means it won't cost the long-distance charges. So that's what they mean by toll-free, 800-855-844. It takes the cost from the person being able to call. Because imagine having to pay every time you call somebody out of your state. It could really add up. But great question, Simone. So I think they're finally getting a picture of the connection between mental health and physical health. If Latanya is worried about housing, medical insurance, having money, having food, it's just an example, hypothetical. If those are my worries, and the healthcare advocate can tap into a database to get me assistance, then I might not have to go to the doctor as much because I have what I need to survive day to day. Sunette just said it best. Put your pride aside and ask for help. It's the same way when you go to the hospital. If you've ever been admitted to a hospital and before you go home, a social worker or advocate comes and says, who do you have picking you up? When you go home, are you safe? Is someone going to be able to help you bathe? There's an advocate person before you get released to your family to make sure that your home is set up to welcome you in after you just had a procedure. Because not everybody's house is set up for them to come home and get adequate care. You can't assume that everyone has a supportive family like I do. Everybody don't have that. Cousin says, look at that. We done lived long enough that the words toll-free is a thing. Yes, we have. Yes, cousin, we have lived a long time. No more anxiety medication. That is my prayer, Simone. And if the healthcare advocate can help me deal with the issues that make me anxious. Maybe someone needs a job and they're anxious because they have no income. The advocate may have a number to a job line. Everything is connected. When we're stressed out about money, about bills, about family, about marriage, about whatever, when we're stressed out, those in stress hormones are trickling down into our physical body and causing pains, aches, arthritis, migraines, which means now we got to go to the doctor. So if the doctor's offices can help us deal with our social issues or our financial, some of our financial setbacks, then it just makes sense. Sinet, yes, it can be hard to ask for help. Because sometimes some people make you feel like asking for help means you failed. But it doesn't. We all need help. We all have had hardships, especially since COVID. Cousin says, I can't even take the medication. So it's a hard road. Do you have a reaction to it, Cousin Kenyatta? Why can't you take it? And I will say this. Simone says, amen. Medication, and let me just give you my disclaimer. I'm not a doctor, and I cannot give anybody advice about what to take or what not to take. But I can tell you this, dealing with anxiety and depression, the mental health medications, sometimes taking them can make you feel worse at first. It has to sink into your bloodstream. And be careful. Don't just accept any medication. Ask questions. Ask about how certain meds may have certain side effects. I took one medication, and I'm just being honest, that thing had me so depressed. I'm like, how are you going to help me cure depression? And the medication makes me feel like I want to leave here. And I'm not being over dramatic. The medication had me feeling like I wanted to unlife myself. For real. It was just that strong. I had to call on Jesus. I'm so serious, y'all. Okay. It gives you a prolonged. Okay. Got you. So just know this. When you are dealing with mental health issues, you have got to involve the spiritual aspect of your healing. Because some of these medications have stuff in it that's mind-altering. Antidepressants are strong. You have got to make sure you are partnering with your physician, asking what's in these drugs, what are the side effects, and telling them like, okay, I also take blank. Don't assume that they know. Go in there with a list of what you take and the dosages and the milligrams and ask questions. A conscious consumer gets attention in doctor offices. When they know that you got some sense about yourself and your care, they're not going to just try to get over on you. I happen to have a really great doctor. Shout out to Henry Ford. Yes, God definitely knows your name. Yes, Cousin Kenyatta. So we're talking about customer service. So you'd be surprised how customer service ties into your doctor office experience. For example, when you make your appointments and you're calling, how kind or not so kind is the scheduler? Are they trying to accommodate your schedule? Are they, you know, doing all they can to fit you in for emergencies? Sunette says, had one that made me sleep almost all day. Mental health medications are so strong at times, it can almost have a person comatose. And depending on how severe the person's mental illness is, the stronger the medication is. Because some people have schizophrenia, PTSD, bipolarism, and those mental illnesses cause them to act out and become violent. So the medication has to have a calming, it has to alter them mentally to make them calm down. Now, I don't take those kinds, thank you, Jesus, and I pray I don't have to, but I know people who are close to me that do. And that's why it's important to pray. Even as you are going to the doctor and having those discussions about medications, pray over the medications. Lord, I really want to be healed. But in the meantime, as I'm taking this medication, don't let it have me feeling worse. Pray. Clinical and the spiritual can come together for our healing. So let's move on before I get out of here to two different customer service experiences that I had today. Over the past weekend, yes, Simone, we gotta pray. Over the last few days, we had an issue with one of our vehicles and had to call the insurance company to make a claim. For those of you who know anything about me, auto insurance has been my life for the last 22 years. So I know a little something about how claims ought to go. I called in my claim this morning, and the young lady was absolutely superb in her service delivery. I'm going to give you some keywords that made her superb, and I want you all to put them in the comments. Sunette says, we need to build up our support system. Listen, I'm glad you said that, Sunette. If anyone is out there and you feel as though you do not have a support system, meaning maybe you live alone and don't have a lot of kin folks, yeah, I'm that old, or family member, Simone has an advocate, maybe you don't have an advocate, but you need someone that can stand up for you. If you need help filling out paperwork, if you need help making phone calls, inbox me, please, because I may be able to help. I can't do it all. But if it's just me being on the phone with you, with your permission to help convey what your needs are, I'm more than happy to do that. I never want anyone to feel like they have no support system. We don't have to be in the same state for me to support you and vice versa. And we can also try to find out if your medical provider has those healthcare advocates. Sometimes you have to ask for those kind of people. They may or may not just have them call you. But I'm grateful that my medical provider has these advocates, because it's been times when I have been on the phone holding forever in tears, trying to get through making appointments, and my healthcare advocate will call me, give me another number, and I get right through. Or she'll put in a referral and that pushes me to the head of the line. Come on, advocate. The advocate goes to bat for you, and sometimes their influence can push you to the head of the line. I felt that in my spirit on today. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Come on here. The advocates know how to get a prayer through, huh? Come on here. So support is important. One of the things that people get stressed about when making phone calls is they're not comfortable making those kind of business calls. And that's the other reason why I do Power Hour. When you are making business calls, you should never do it without a notebook. Notebook, planner, calendar. Do not rely solely upon your memory when you are making any kind of business calls, especially the kind that have to do with your health. You need to write down who you talk to, what day you talk to them, what they told you, when's the appointment, what you should have with you when you come to the appointment, We're going to talk about making sure we are conscious consumers. What does that mean? It means you got to be smart when you're making these phone calls. Because sometimes you're going to get people on the other end who don't care about you. Okay? And will do the absolute minimal to get you off that phone call. Simone says, we definitely don't have to be in the same state to have a support system. Ask me how I know. Mine is on this screen talking to us right now. I love you, Simone. And yes, I am a part of your support system and you are mine. But I called in my claim this morning, everybody, without saying the name of the insurance company. And the lady answered the phone. Number one, she was friendly. Somebody put in the chat, friendly. Friendly, friendly, friendly. The first thing in giving customer service is I need you to be friendly. If you are working in the capacity of customer service on the phone or in person, friendly. When you're on the phone, we can hear your frown. Hear me when I say. When you answer the phone and you ain't smiling, your frown can be heard. And so can a smile. We used to look at ourselves in the mirror at work back in the day to make sure we were smiling when we took our phone calls. Our Simone said, friend, how many of us have them? So step number one, and this goes both ways. You want the person who you're calling to be friendly. And then as the customer, we should be friendly. Can we agree to that? We can't expect the customer service rep to be friendly if we are not. Now, you may think, well, I'm calling them back because they messed up my account. I get it. But I'm telling you from experience, if you call these companies, lighting into these reps, cussing, fussing, calling them everything but a child of the Most High, they can hang up on you. I'm trying to help you. Simone says, your frown has a sound. It does. And that is a whole word. People can hear when you are frowning, just as they can hear, good morning. Thank you for calling LHG Consulting. I'm Latanya. How may I help you? You can hear that smile as opposed to, how may I help you? See the difference? Major, major. Cousin says, yes, when I was in customer service, that is the one thing they said about me, that I always sounded like I was smiling. We are twins, Cousin Kenyatta, because they would tease me and call me a songbird, like I was singing to them. But I always felt as though when that phone call starts, the start of a thing sets the tone for the entire call. So if you call my line and I get your phone call and you're already distraught, let's say this. Most of the time when you are calling customer service, it's because something has gone awry or wrong. Can we agree to that? If everything was wonderful, I wouldn't have to call nobody. 90% of the time, ladies and gentlemen, people are calling customer service because something about that customer needs service. Huh? I'm going somewhere today, y'all. Y'all with me? Yes, the mute button works good too when you use it, Sinet. I done had people talk about folks. They wasn't on mute. They thought they were. And that customer heard all that negativity. So I tell my people to be careful of that mute button. Be careful. If you can use it and don't get in trouble, that's fine. But I done had people try to push the button and didn't work. And they called me that customer stupid and dumb and idiot. And they hear like, I hear you. So y'all be careful of that good mute button. Be careful. So the first thing is friendliness. Both sides, both parties need to be friendly. Secondly, as a customer service representative, okay, you need to find out who this person is and what they want from you. Now it's time to gather some information. So you might hear stuff like, how can I help you? How can I assist you? What can I do for you? So that's when they're supposed to be taking out of you, getting from you, dear customer, what do you need? My name is this. I'm calling because of this. All right. I called this morning to make a claim on my car insurance policy. All right. The first thing the lady said to me, y'all, was, I'm sorry you had an accident. Somebody put empathy in the chat. I am sorry you even had to call me. That thing hit me in my spirit. I could have went into a Pentecostal frenzy. She said, I'm sorry to hear about your accident. Don't know me from a can of paint, but she showed me genuine care and concern. Come on. Empathy, concern, care. Because she knew if there wasn't a problem, I wouldn't be calling her. And for those of you who work in an industry where you handle problems all day, if they're calling you about a problem, you definitely got to get the empathy in. And it could be a simple, I'm so sorry to hear that. Are you all right? Are you okay? Did you get hurt? Come on. Before you get into the what's my account number, what's my address, before you get into the data collection, you need to establish a rapport. How do you do that? Empathy. Yes. Empathy will instantly let that person know that you care. Cousin says, I am naturally empathetic. That was easy for me. And that was easy for me too. But for some people who work in this industry, y'all, it's not easy. And they would go right into the, may I have your account number? May I have your name? Oh, I just had an accident. May I have your account number? May I have a name? I'm bleeding right now. May I have your account number? May I have your name? My leg just been severed. May I have your account number? May I have your name? Come on. If this person just told you they were involved in an accident, incident, something went wrong, you got to get that empathy in before you go on with the business part. Come on. You got to get that part in. Simone says, like the song says, I wouldn't know you like I do. Yes. Isn't that crazy, cousin? You can be saying all of these different things to the person that's happened to them. It's my first accident. I can't believe my brand new car is total. May I have your name? May I have your account number? May I have your name? May I have your account number? It's like, wait a minute. Did you not just hear them say somebody was fatally wounded in the accident and you still act like you didn't even hear that? You know what's in that? I agree with that. There are some people who are in different industries that don't belong there. It's just a check for them. I agree with you. If you can't handle customer service, if you can't handle people and take care of people the way you should, the way they deserve to be treated, then maybe you should consider another job. I agree with you, Zanette. I do. I agree with you. But we still have people on these phones that have what we need. We got to go through hell and high water to get it. So review. We talked about being friendly. We talked about empathy. So now that you have established with that customer that I care about you, I'm going to help you. Okay? That reassurance. I think it's important to find out what they need. And then repeat it to the customer to make sure you can handle it. So if you get a phone call and that person says, I'm calling because I have to make a claim on my car due to an incident. I'm so sorry to hear about that. I hope you're okay. You got through that. Now the question becomes, are you the person who can help them or not? If you're the person, say something like, I can help you with that, Mrs. Gooden. I'll be happy to help with that. I can work with you and get that done for you. Now, if you are not the person that can handle that, okay, here's where it can get a little tricky. The one thing you don't want to say is you got the wrong department. Don't do that. Do not come out the gate with the negative or what you can't do. What you want to do is you want to say, well, Mrs. Gooden, sounds like you need to file a claim regarding the incident in your vehicle. I would like to get you over to someone that can help you with that. Notice I did not say what I can't do. I want to get you to someone that can help you with that. I never said, well, you got the wrong department. I'm going to transfer you. Tell me what you can do before you tell me what you can't do. Oh, that's the golden rule. Before you tell a customer what you cannot do, tell them what you can do. Okay? Because guess what? I'm going to hear the can't before the can. Right. Do not bombard the customer with the can'ts. You might know they're in the wrong department. I used to get calls all the time that had nothing to do with what I could do. But I had to be conscious on how I reroute them. I never once said, I can't do that. That ain't me. Wrong department. Let me get you to someone that can help you with that. Come on. So next says, like, I can't handle certain things, so I'll look for the right person to help. So when a lot of cases, when you call a number for a company, they've got people divided up by expertise. That's why when you hear press one for this, press two for that, press three for that, the reason for those different numbers to press is because if you press one, you're going to get routed to people who can handle certain things. You press two, you're going to get routed to someone that can handle certain things. Okay. But every now and then a person can get misrouted or don't push a number at all. And they can end up on your phone and you know you can't handle it, but you want to avoid can't, and you want to avoid unfortunately, you want to say something like, I would like to get you to someone that can handle that. You've reached sales. I want to get you over to service, Mrs. Gooden. Something along those lines. You want to avoid can't. And you want to avoid any words that come from cannot, I'm not that one. You want to avoid that. Okay. So once you have determined that you can help them, give them a nice blanket statement that says to them, you're in the right place at the right time with the right person. And it can be real simple. I will be happy to help with that. I can help you with that. I can handle that. Kenyatta says, yes, at least if you really can't find who can and assist the customer with getting there, yes. And please brief the next rep so the customer does not have to repeat. Y'all on point today. One thing I can't stand, if I happen to get you and you can't help me, but I told you my whole story, the least you can do, dear customer service representative, is when you get me over to the next person, stay on the line with me and tell them my story, get them acquainted with it, give them my account number. And then when you bring me on the phone, Mrs. Gooden, thank you for holding. I have John on the phone. He's in service. I told him what you need and he can help you. Oh, we talking good today. This is good, y'all. So let's recap. We had friendly. We had empathy, which was care and concern. Okay. We've talked about reassuring the person that you can help them. And if you cannot help them, don't come out with, I can't help with that. Please hold. We're not going to do that. We are learning how to say to them professionally, I want to get you over to someone that can help you. Now, here's a little twist to it. What if I waited on the phone a whole hour to get to you only for you to tell me you ain't the one? I'm going to be a little upset. Have you ever had that happen? Have you ever gotten transferred multiple times and told your story multiple times only to be on hold for another hour for that next person to not be able to help you? Here is what you need to do. Customer service rep. Before you go transfer them again, you need to stay on the phone with them. When you send them to somebody else, stay on the line. All right. If your manager is wondering why you've been on that call so long, tell them this person's been transferred 5 times. I'm not letting them go. I'm not doing it. I'm going to make sure we get the right person. When it lands in your lap, it should start and end with you to make it right. We hand off stuff too quickly sometimes, y'all. We do. But when I get irate customers and they tell me they've been on the phone for so many hours trying to handle one thing and they're already irate, I want to diffuse it. So that says, I used to say, let me get the store manager who can help. You can. If that's your protocol, every company has different protocol. If the manager is the next in command, then you may have to do that. You might have to. Simone says, okay, so what about those letters that come from a business with a statement that starts with unfortunately? I don't like the word unfortunately. People use it. But for me, I don't like the tone of unfortunately. You're going to get those letters all the time. Every company decides what they feel is professional or not. I was taught to avoid that. Because that word makes a customer feel like, oh my God, it's bad news. I was taught how to give bad news and make it sound wonderful. That's my old school training, Simone. But yeah, you're going to see that word a lot and you're going to hear it a lot. But in my training, and when I start doing full-blown service training, we're talking about the forbidden phrases and forbidden words, and that's one of them. Unfortunately, it's like, dun, dun, dun. It's negative. It's negative. Sunette says repeating throws her over the edge. Yes, Sunette, I know. So I got 3 minutes and I'm going to get wrapped up. We're going to do a part two of this. And we haven't even gotten to the meat of the call yet. This is the beginning of the phone call. To those who work in customer service, a strong beginning of your phone call kind of sets the tone. Get to know who you're talking to a little bit. Call them by their name. Put that in the comments. Personalize the call. Don't do ma'am or sir. Once you know their name, use their name. I am a real human being with a whole name. Call me Mrs. Gooden. Or if I give you permission to call me LaTanya, call me LaTanya. Personalize your phone calls. That's another way to create a rapport. Call people by their name. When you keep doing ma'am, 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 sir, 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 that's kind of rude and condescending. Personalize the call. It tells the customer, I took time to look at their name, to learn their name, and I'm calling them by their name. Don't overkill it now, okay? But at least every now and then, put their name in there to remind them, I'm here for Mrs. Gooden. I'm here for Mrs. Hatton. So she knows that I am doing all I can for her specifically. Kenyatta says, in this day, I don't even think you can even say sir or ma'am. You know, when I was being trained, you can say it in the very beginning before you knew their name. But after that, they didn't want you to do sir or ma'am. It had to be the person's name. You can get marked down for quality for that. Just so it sounds more personal, professional versus so robotic and harsh. Because sometimes that ma'am and sir could be kind of hard. Okay. All right. We're going to get out of here. We're going to do a part two next week. Oh, the gender preferences. I get what you're saying now. Well, that's a good point. That's a good point, Kenyatta. You may have to you may have to rely on the caller to say, my pronouns are, or please call me whatever. Because I can only assume if you tell me your name is Kenyatta, because sometimes Kenyatta or Kenyatta can be a male or female as well. So you can't really make assumptions. But if we don't know if that person identifies as a male or female, it's going to be up to that person to tell us, I identify as male, or I'm non-binary, so don't call me either one. So, I mean, I hear what you're saying, Sinet. It's cool, but I agree with Kenyatta. And these days, there are so many options out here. Somebody could get offended with using sir or ma'am. They don't go by either one of them. That can be a slippery slope. True, Kenyatta. Even with our coworkers, we have to know what their pronouns are. So in our Zooms, the Zoom now has an option up under your name. It says pronouns, them or they. And some people have them on their name tag, their pronouns. We have a librarian at our library. I love Miranda. And Miranda has on her tag pronouns, them or they. So I know how to address them. But very good point. Very good point. All right, I got to get out of here. Yes, some names are unisex. Yes. But some people do not identify with either sex. That's what Kenyatta's point was, Sinet. I think it's called non-binary. So I think it would be up to the customer to tell us when we ask for their name. They can say, my name is, you know, Joseph Carter, and my pronouns are them and they. I mean, they will have to tell us because we don't know. We don't know. All right, I got to get out of here. We'll do part two of customer service next week. Join me tonight at 7 p.m. Let's talk about love, love literacy. Pastor Inga Wallace and my other guest is Pastor Denise Cooper. They're both pastors and they're my sisters. One is my Sunday school teacher. So meet me here at 7 o'clock, y'all. I love you. Thank y'all. Please share, comment, tag, subscribe, and follow. I'll see y'all at 7 o'clock. My soup cold. I'm hungry, y'all. Bye.